You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
This is what happens when you don't die from syphilis anymore.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in San Antonio, Texas, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, psychic medium and angel channel, Sarah Itkin. And now your host. He watched President Biden's recent State of the Union, and it didn't tell him much about what's going on in the country, but the internet's reaction sure did. Deese Casillas.
Malam Keen, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Welcome back, guys. I've been telling you forever. We're getting back to the weekly schedule, and here we are. 2024 is here. I'm doing it, and back for you, baby. Every Wednesday, new episodes of The Social Hour once again. So mark it on your calendar, at least through April, and then it might get shaky when the tour comes up, but I'm going to keep trying. We're going to give you more episodes than we have been this last in 2023. So thank you guys for sticking in there, hanging out, and coming back every week. If you like the show, tell a friend, share it, rate and review us on any of your podcatcher apps, whatever you're doing these days, wherever you're listening to your podcast, TikToks, Grindr, I don't care. Give us a goog. Tell us we're doing a good job. Also, as for me, as usual, guys, go to deesecomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. Live dates coming in hot. This is coming out mid-March, so, whoa, man, I'm just a couple weeks away from kicking off the spring tour in April, so get your tickets now. I'll be starting in Yakima, Washington, actually, is my first stop. Then I'll be all over the Northwest for a few weeks, back down to Texas for some stuff, and then, man, it's going to be a crazy second half of the year. So get your tickets now. They're on sale. And that's it. You guys know what to do. Let's just get into it with our guest today here, guys. All the way from Denver, Colorado. She is a psychic medium and angel channel and much, much more. We're going to learn all about it. Please welcome Sarah Itkin. Sarah, how you doing today? How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks. Thanks for being here. We appreciate you hanging out today. I was very interested in your when we connected on Facebook about what you do. There was a lot to unpack here. Although I am interested, you just before we heated up the mics, you said you used to be a therapist, not anymore. Now doing psychic medium, angel channel, and you said a couple other things. What was the change? That's a big swing, I feel like.
I know. I always wanted to live like a quote unquote normal life, and didn't really end up happening.
I don't think any of us get the normal life we want, right?
Yeah. So when I was in college, I had a psychic dream. It was really intense and came true. I dreamt that my friend had passed away, and it was very detailed. And she did end up passing away a year and a half later. And throughout my 20s, I had some different psychic experiences, but I didn't really think that there was a point to doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And I knew I always wanted to help people. So I just felt like the only way to do that was to become a therapist. And I got my master's in social work and my license in clinical social work. But during that time, I started to see angels. And then I started to see angels around people. And then I ended up getting a teacher because my psychic dreams became somewhat traumatic because I was having nightmares about things that happened to one of my clients who was in a war.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was going on with her specifically. She didn't tell me her story, but I had a dream that all these terrible things happened to me in the war. And then when I met with her, she told me this her story, which was everything that happened in my dream.
Yeah. Well, so let's back up just a second. I have the friend who passed away, you had a dream about, then a year and a half later they passed away. What was the dream? And like, how vivid was the dream? And then, you know, I mean, not to bring up probably a traumatic experience, but I feel like this is a lot. It is like a big catalyst for what you're doing now. You know, was it specific? Like your dream was exactly what happened, or, you know, tell us about that.
Yeah. In my dream, she took a substance that her stomach wasn't able to handle.
Yeah.
And then that sent her into cardiac arrest. And it was, then I remember I was called her best friend, and she told me what happened in my dream. And so the next morning, I ended up calling her. Oh, so in the dream, they had heart cardiac arrest, and then she died. And in my waking life, I ended up calling her the next morning. And I told her that I had a dream that she died, and I was, like, terrified.
Yeah.
Which probably wasn't the best thing for her to hear, but she was very compassionate. She also had an illness that, I'm just kind of keeping it sensitive or a little bit quiet just because if her loved ones ever heard it, I don't want to feel like I'm sharing too much. And in my dream, her illness also was part of this leading into her death.
Yeah.
And a year and a half later, I got a call that she took a substance and that her body couldn't handle it. Her stomach lining couldn't handle it, sent her into cardiac arrest. I called her best friend, and she told me that what happened, and I was devastated and shocked to know that I had dreamt the entire thing.
Yeah.
And I ended up calling a medium that was working with her family, and she told me, yeah, you're psychic. So it was a devastating way for me to figure that out.
Yeah. So that was your first experience with something like that, or had you had experiences in the past, you just weren't able to, you know, like, you just weren't able to put a label on it, basically, you know, like things that happened, you weren't, you know, now you're like, oh, this makes sense because of this new framework.
Exactly. Actually, I had a dream when I dreamt in high school, I was having these reoccurring nightmares that I realized later were past life memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, I never really believed in any of this stuff, really. So that sounds like, whoa, like way out there. But it all made sense. I got a reading about that. So, and it correlated with my dreams, and everything made sense. What I was recalling was a past life. But that's all I really remember. I do remember being an empath, which is another way of being intuitive that a lot of us are, and I'm sure you are too, where you pick up on other people's emotions. You can tell what they're feeling, and they don't have to tell you what they're feeling, but you can pick that up. So that I know what I always was, but having these psychic dreams and experiences was something pretty new.
So I'm always interested in, you know, cause I've talked to a lot of people with these experiences on the podcast, off the podcast, and there's similarities, but there's differences, you know, in differences in the way people approach it or see it. Like, what do you think it is in your, you know, I mean, that's a tough thing to quantify, I know, but is it, are you getting in touch with an afterlife? Is it another realm? Is it a parallel universe? I mean, what do you think, in your opinion, you're tapping into?
Well, a sixth sense is, I truly believe, just one of our senses. It's something that we all possess. Like we possess sight and sound and ability to hear and see. And So I always felt like, you know, why do people have deja vu moments? Mm-hmm. Why can you feel someone staring at you when you're not looking at them?
Yeah.
We've all had those moments. Why do you think of a friend and then they call? Because you're using a part of your brain that is your sixth sense. And, but our society has kind of denied that because it's not scientifically proven. When I connect, so basically when you use your intuition, you're connecting to energy. So you are connecting to the energy of someone's past, present, and future, although future can change depending upon the choices that you make. When I am actually connecting to, as an angel challenge I mentioned, I'm connecting to the spirit realm. So in the spirit realm, we have our deceased loved ones, angels, guides. And that feels like a realm on the other side that we often can't see.
Yeah.
When it comes to past lives, it's basically, I believe in reincarnation, and I believe that most of us had many, many lives. Oftentimes we don't remember. But for people who have a strong intuition naturally, it's just like a continuum of time.
Mm-hmm.
So you may be in this life remembering something that happened to you 1,000 years ago, but most likely you're not like, oh, I just had this vision that I was an ancient Egyptian or something, yeah, or a pharaoh. Oftentimes what happens is, for me, like I was being waking up with these, I was having these intense, bizarre dreams that didn't make any sense. And I was having these thoughts when I was alive that didn't make, I am still alive, but in the present moment. So for example, in my dream, in my past life, in my dreams, I was in the Holocaust and I was doing very specific things in order to survive the way I interacted with Nazis, where I was living, I was starving, and I was trying to protect children. And so in this life, I am Jewish, and I remember having thoughts of looking in the mirror and saying, wow, I'm glad I don't have the option of passing because I have Jewish features. In that life, I was blonde and I had blue eyes and I passed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why would you have that thought? That's a really random thought to have when you're like 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, and then having a reading later from somebody else and explaining my past life and then putting the puzzles together. So each way of connecting has a different level of frequency. One, you're using your memory with the past lives. Two, your intuition. Two, you're using a sense, a way of connecting to energy that you can't see with the psychic abilities. And three, when you're connecting to spirits on the other side, you're connecting to the fit, like there's different dimensions,
mm-hmm,
and you're connecting to another dimension that I just call the spiritual realm.
So yeah, that's what, let's hone in on that, because this is again what I always try to interested in how people view this, because I think a lot of people have, you know, varying opinions on it. And it's one of those things, it's hard to quantify because, you know, you can't scientifically measure it, or you can't take
exactly
a picture of it. You can't grasp, you know, hold it in your hand and show people. So it's tough. What, I mean, when you say the spirit realm, what, in your opinion, is there like, is it things that are around us we just can't see? Is it a literal other realm where things are existing in a whole way that, like, essentially living a life that we are unaware of and, you know, not in tune with?
I don't know anything about, like, the parallel universe and time. And I don't think that for me and most people that's what's happening, is, like, we're living in two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that some of us are connecting to this other world, and everybody has the ability to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's,
go ahead.
Oh, that's kind of what I mean. Like, what do you think that, in your opinion, because again, it's, we're just, all we can do is kind of pontificate. What do you think that other world is? What would you, in your experience, mm-hmm, obviously, with it you've had, what do you think that, if you had to describe it to someone, what do you think it is?
So, can I know, it's a tough time answering that
question. That's a tough question. I know.
I can explain it. It just might take a little bit. Okay, I'm going to give you the example. I'll give you specific examples first. Okay, yeah, so angels. Angels like in this other realm.
Can I ask you a quick side question?
Oh, sure.
Sorry, I know. I mean, I don't mean to derail this, but I want to make sure people who are listening are clear on how this is being viewed as we break this down. You're saying angel. Do you mean that in like a true biblical theological sense, or do you mean in a more quantify angel in your opinion?
That'll
help us, because people get caught up with these terms, and you know, if someone comes from a theological background, they're gonna get hung up on this term angel, and you may be using it in a different sense, you know.
I am, and I always forget about that fact. So, angels, the concept of angels came about in the Torah, which most people call the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
and Judaism. And angels were considered to be messengers of God.
Okay.
So, in this day and age, angels, to me, are celestial beings that have nothing to do with religion. They are here. They are never human, but their purpose is to help us be human,
mm-hmm.
because being human is very hard. And you don't have to believe in God to accept angels. However, I know that these words, especially for people who have religious trauma, can be triggering.
Sure.
But I do believe in God. And so I consider God, you know, angels to work with God to essentially be messengers from God. But more often I just think of them and consider them to be these celestial beings, these helpers. And so angels, the way I see them, are with lights. I see them as flashes of light. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do, and they don't realize it. The thing that kind of makes me feel like, I don't know, that the story of angels can be misleading, is that in Christian and Catholic iconography, you see them painted as, you know, white, beautiful people with wings, you know, right, flying around. And I think that's because, you know, people need to create a concept for them to believe in. And of course, there's no gender to, or there's no race, and there's no gender to a celestial being. So sometimes, I mean, people see beings with wings, but I've never heard of anyone saying, oh, I saw this like guy that looked like a Michelangelo painting.
Yeah, like a little cherub.
Yeah, so I do not, when I look at those images, I don't at all think about how that relates to real angel. So again, no attachment to relate race, gender, or religion to me, especially because I see them as lights and I hear them as just like, they're not proselytizing and they're not saying,
yeah, so it's kind of
to Jesus's word or whatever.
Kind of more of an ambiguous ethereal being of general purpose, not necessarily of, you know, directed by any theology or God in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. That's helpful. I think that will be helpful for a lot of people. Cause yeah, like you said, the word angel can be, triggering, or can drum up specific, you know, colloquial descriptions that could make people have challenges getting to the next step for what you're this realm we're going to explain. So,
exactly. So I always forget.
Okay, go ahead. So that helps with that. So the realm,
So they come into our realm. That's what they're doing more and more as we are evolving in society, and more people are recognizing that they are psychic and they have these abilities. So I see them at my realm. They literally show themselves up to me in form. And then I have this bridge of connection to where I call what it is an intuitive hit, where I'm hearing information that's coming to me randomly in my own mental voice, but it's not my thoughts. It's not coming from thought. It's not coming from my ideas. I know that because of what they're saying when I communicate to my clients. They're giving these messages that then share specific information that actually makes sense to my client as an individual. And they also share information for the whole of the collective. always healing, always encouraging, always positive, because angels are love, and love, I mean, to me, I don't feel like there's fear in love. Yeah. So the angels aren't going to tell you that you're going to die in 2 days. They're here to help. They're here to provide truth. And people are asking for that help and not realizing it. Like, when I started to see angels, I didn't know I was asking to see the angels. I was struggling majorly with mental health and dealing with grief from my friend, mental health challenges. And I was asking for something higher. I was asking for a higher power, a connection, a teacher, a spiritual teacher. And so that's when I started to see the angels. So they're not going to plop into your life unless you're open to receiving them,
yeah,
or you're already calling out for them and you don't know.
Yeah.
There's free will.
Yeah. So, I have a side question that's going to might derail this part of this. I have a question that's, do you, you said you were Jewish.
I am.
Are both your parents Jewish?
Yes.
So I'm going to guess, I don't know your exact age, but I'm going to guess you have kind of traditional Jewish parents in a sense.
Yeah. I mean, Judaism, just like there are different denominations of it.
Sure.
There's different ways of practicing. And I was raised in Reform Judaism, which is the most, it's like you can ask questions, you don't follow all the rules strictly. It was invented to be more intellectual.
Sure.
And, so that's basically me.
Okay. So I assume your dad, it doesn't walking around, you know, Brooklyn with the curls in a black hat.
So, yeah,
but you
yeah,
know, but enough. But yeah, traditional, yeah. And like, you know, the more modern American traditional Jewish family. How do they feel about this?
Well, at first they were scared, just because, not because they were Jewish or had any beliefs around that, but because they didn't know what I was doing, and they were afraid that I was going to be ostracized, and
right,
they just didn't understand.
Yeah.
I actually did talk to some rabbis because I was curious about Judaism and in the rules, you know, for people who are going to follow it more, the letter of the law.
Yeah.
And the rabbi said that there's nothing against communicating with angels.
Okay.
It's just Judaism is a God-focused religion, so they mm-hmm. don't talk about connecting to angels
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I just always want, because I mean, you know, coming from a... anyone in a traditional, you know, Abrahamic religion, starting to deviate into things that could be, you know, depending on how conservative and traditional these religions could be. I mean, you get
yeah.
it. There's a thin line between like prayer and witchcraft sometimes, you know, like,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? I just wonder, like, if the family dynamic. I can imagine, you know, there would have been some tenuous, or at least like, yeah, this is, you know, you kind of, you know, it's new to them. It's not something
yeah,
they're used
exactly.
to. So.
In Judaism, mediumship gets dicey. And this would be adopted in Catholicism as well as Christianity, because they, as far as I know, they go upon, they, a lot of their views are based on the Old Testament, but there's a rule that says do not conjure the dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not breaking that rule because I'm not conjuring anybody, because they're here. They're here. They're here to be our guides. They don't leave us.
I like that.
And so, you know, that's like debatable.
Yeah.
But a lot of more religious Jews, just like any sort of religious Western medicine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Western religion. That's where a lot of people would think that I'm doing something really bad.
Yeah. And I would imagine having had Jewish friends over my lifetime, there's kind of like a, in general, they're usually like, you know, tighter knit Jewish communities in areas. Did you feel experience pushback from any of that? You know, your parents' friends, the church, the, you know.
No. And in Judaism, we have like a synagogue, but instead of churches, so basically I think everybody reacted in a way that there's not comfortability in the way that general society reacts, where most people would feel uncomfortable with what I'm talking about.
Sure.
It feels like this is more of a specific, maybe counterculture type of belief or way of connecting. So the people, I'm sure it would have been more comfortable for everybody if it was like, oh yeah, in Judaism we have like medicine people, or you know what I mean, we have these people who we know connected to angels. And I know that that's true. I mean, I know that in communities, people, there's never, I feel like in my family, and I could be wrong, in the past generations, there are people that connect to others that are designated as being intuitive. And the rabbis, especially in ancient times, people will go to a rabbi and the rabbi would give information that is connected to a more intuitive approach.
Yeah.
So people would see the rabbi. I don't want to become sacrilegious, but people would see a rabbi as they kind of would see a seer.
Yeah.
But in the most part, a lot of people felt really uncomfortable with what I was doing because it was unknown and it didn't make sense to them. And what's unknown and what doesn't make sense to people can be uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. Most religious leaders, whether you're talking about a priest or a rabbi or a pastor, that sounds like a setup for a bad joke. They'll walk into a bar. They kind of are a conduit for God to their congregation. You know, they're getting these messages in these sermons that they relay, or they, you know, read part of the Testament and then they interpret it and add whatever, you know, pray about it, and then whatever spin they're giving you in that service, it's kind of through what they interpret that God, the information God's given them. So they are kind of doing that in a sense, but just in a more monotheistic way, as opposed to, more open door policy.
Kind of like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think, you know, my family really embraced me after they figured out what I was doing and they could understand what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Some people are uncomfortable, but I think my family and friends, that kind of like fear, I think for most of them, dissipated. And I was really intrigued to know that like rabbis, even there's a rabbi that was really curious, wanted to learn more about it. And so I just happened to, the spectrum of Judaism, I just happened to be on like the lower end of the like not following the letter of the Torah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, there are a spectrum of beliefs, and there was Jewish mysticism where the rabbis who lived in Spain were having what someone might label as a paranormal experience, but they were having these psychic experiences connecting to God, according to their writings.
Yeah, I mean, not that this is the same thing, but you know, I grew up Catholic, and obviously Catholics are have a lot of connection to like exorcisms and things like that, which is, depend on your belief in that, is a connection to another realm, whatever that realm may be. Is there anything similar to that in the Jewish religion?
There's no hell in Judaism.
Right.
There's only, they call it heaven, Eden, the world of endless rewards. That's the translation. And I think that I've read some folk stories where there are mischievous spirits that cause mischief in people's lives with a maybe malintent, but those are folk stories. And so like, if you're looking at the actual religion, the devil is never mentioned. The devil is not a Jewish concept.
Yeah.
It's just it's all God focused. Mm-hmm. And the way that they interpreted God's rules and
yeah,
love and all the things.
So, I mean, that brings up an interesting point, I guess. So on the opposite coin of these angels and these spirits that are helping you along the way and things like that, is there a counter to that? Is there an opposite side of that coin that is out there that can detract, mm-hmm. that is trying to harm people, or you know, basically your for lack of a better term, demons?
Yeah.
You know, is that also something that's out there in your opinion?
So what I see it as, this is a great way that my friend who practices, she's a shamanic practitioner. Mm-hmm. This is how she broke it down for me, which I think is really helpful. In life, we have positive and negative people. Mm-hmm. In the spiritual realm, there are positive and negative spirits. I don't believe in demons because I choose not to. It scares the crap out of me.
Sure.
So I'm not going to put my energy into it. I'm just going to say I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
There are ghosts of people who haven't like crossed over into the spiritual realm, and they're hanging around, and so they hold on to their egos, which can be anger, you know, sadness, fear. I also am a little scared of ghosts, so I don't. they don't appear. So basically, I don't believe in a devil. I just don't. I'm sorry, I just don't. I think that's a concept that was created to make control of, you know, and cause people to be controlled by a concept.
Yeah.
But I do believe that there are positive and negative spirits. However, I also believe that the good is more powerful than that. So for people, you know, I mean, I can't say like, in the exorcisms, I mean, my interpretation would just be, yeah, they might have really negative experiences. I have heard stories that where people feel like they're being harmed or their energy is being drained, and they got a healing and then they felt better. Is that psychosomatic or is that real? I think that, you know, I can't say that that's not real.
Yeah.
I just kind of choose to have a practice for me, and this is what I share with my clients and students.
Yeah.
If you believe that the angels are stronger, if you believe that light beings are stronger than the darker beings, then you are protected in that sense. And yeah. I do think that's true, because I think love is more powerful than hate.
Yeah. 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 The, there's actually a really, crazy, one of the craziest stories, in my opinion, of exorcism. And there was, it's actually, they got an audio of it, but it was something like the 50s or 60s. There was this girl who was allegedly possessed in like Germany, and they brought over a priest from, I believe, Italy or Spain to do this exorcism. And she was, you know, he's like 60, she's like 13. And she was, during the process, she was actually screaming these details about his life as a youth, like, mm-hmm. that she knew that. I mean, there's no way she would have had this information, you know?
Right.
And just like that type of stuff where you're like, oh my God, what is that? That's a weird, you know, like that's, you know, it does just, what, like bone chilling stuff. But you know, I mean, again, like what's the explanation? I don't know. I know it's fucking creepy. It was weird. I mean, that'd be very unnerving. But you know, yeah, there's, definitely things out there we can't explain, and who knows if we ever will be able
to. And I would never say that her experience isn't real at all. It's just I don't like to think about it, so I tell myself it's not real.
There you go. That's why. Yeah, there you go.
But it is. I mean, she is having a real experience, and I think, you know, just like someone can punch you in the face when you're alive, you know, I mean, not when you're alive, you know what I mean, when you're in this world, like someone can come up and punch you in the face. I do think like a spirit can, that could happen with more negative spirits, where they don't necessarily cause physical harm, but where you feel like you're being hurt by them.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just kind of like to not make myself scared.
I get it. I don't blame you. Well, we'll change the topic then. So tell us about how, when you, I mean, kind of break it down, you're communing with these angels. Mm-hmm. Does it happen? Does it just happen? Is it, are you focusing on it? Are you doing it for certain people, specific things? Like, it, you kind of break down the process for us.
Well, the way I learned how to channel angels is through automatic handwriting, which is basically you get yourself in a meditative state and you start to free write. The reason why, people can doubt themselves and say, oh, it's whatever, me making it up. But it's, you know, that the language is different. First of all, it actually might sound like different language that you wouldn't use. I noticed for me that my spelling is pretty correct when I do my channel, as opposed to like if I wasn't.
Yeah.
It's always positive. It can bring in truth, but it's always positive.
Okay.
It's never like you're a jerk. And let's say you are connecting with your soul, your higher self, I kind of consider that to be soul. Your higher self is your soul. Then you are connecting to the angels anyway, because I believe spirit exists within you too. There's no barrier. Mm-hmm. So that's how I learned how to do it. And I would turn it on and off by doing the specific exercise. I close my eyes, I draw circles, and I get into a meditative state. Then in my life, it's usually intentional. I don't often hear the angels popping in my life, just talking to me in my head, but it does happen. But I think that's more about me and allowing myself and focusing on taking care of me rather than other people. Mm-hmm. But it's basically in using your psychic abilities and connecting to deceased loved ones is if you learn this skill, you're flipping a switch. But when I see them randomly, I don't decide when I'm going to see them.
Yeah.
Of course, but that's not intrusive. It's really nice. So some people aren't able to turn off these intuitive abilities, and that usually they started when they were children and there's no one to guide them. And I think it's just either, you know, I teach people like to turn it on and off. And it's like, do I want to hear from my grandma today, or, you know, call up grandma and listen to her voice? It's like the same thing.
Yeah.
But angels also communicate without you asking to, through signs, through repetitive number patterns, and specific signs, and that will come in usually whenever.
Okay.
Which is also it's always really fun.
Yeah. So you have a service. You have clients, people that come to you for the, you know, what are people coming to you for? What are they coming, when they come to you, what are they looking for?
Well, and I do teach intuitive development, we can call it psychic development courses. So because a lot of people are intuitive and they're starting to recognize it and they don't know like what to do with it. What's the point? I don't know what to do with it and having these skills and abilities, because more and more people are waking up to that. So people come to me for that reason. And for other reasons, usually everybody comes for a reading because they're going through something and they want clarity about whatever, relationships, career, any, you know, feeling stuck. They don't understand their life purpose and they just want more guidance. And then we have people who are coming because they lost a loved one and they want to connect to this specific loved one. And so I do that by, again, connecting to the energy and the frequency of this deceased loved one. And then I relay detailed information to make sure that I'm connecting to the right spirit and my client feels comfortable that I'm connecting to the right spirit. And then I relay messages. I also call myself an intuitive coach because I used to be a therapist. And the angels are always giving me tailored action plans in addition to like loving positive messages to help people heal. And so I don't want to say it replaces therapy, but I'm able to combine my knowledge and knowledge of coping skills that I learned as a therapist and weave it all in together to provide an alternative way for people to heal emotionally, receiving this ongoing support.
Interesting. So in what kind of information do you find is being conveyed? What's the information these angels are conveying for people?
A lot of it is about empowerment. A lot of it is that, for example, invalidation. So the angels want us to live very healed lives. They want to help us heal. So for example, they might show, they show me someone painting. And I was like, oh, I see a painting. The angels are showing me that they want you to paint. And they're like, oh yeah, I used to paint when I was little, and I don't do it anymore because but I've been thinking about doing it.
Yeah.
So there's that validation, like that person kind of had a sense that this would be healing for them. and other types of information is just really guidance for people who are feeling lost, of specific things they can do to feel, in a sense, found.
Yeah.
Helping a lot of, on the spiritual path, there are a lot of people waking up and saying, I want to intentionally follow a spiritual path. And that can feel scary because it's unknown. And it's, it feels like walking into like a blank slate. So the angels will give you guidance on how to be able to do it while managing your emotions and feeling comforted. Basically, the big message is they want us to know that they're here.
Yeah.
And they want us to know that we can connect to them anytime. And they want us to know that they're already connecting with us, most likely, through those angel signs that most people don't recognize. And they want to give us information that will a sense feel like we're in a partnership. So during those times when people are depressed, they feel alone, there's no one to talk to, the angels want us to know that they're available, that they can help with emotional healing, anxiety, or we have this anxiety, we have, you know, trauma in our lives. Well, the angels want us to know that we can communicate them to help heal those things. And actually what I'm hearing right now, I hear things, you know, like I said, from the angels, is angels are here to help us return to the self, meaning when we're babies, we're pure. We have no fear. Our egos haven't formed.
Yeah.
They haven't developed. They haven't taken over our lives. But then that starts to change. And so they want us to recall ourselves, to connect to our highest power within.
Yeah. I mean, how do you think that today's society affects that? Because, I mean, I think there's a time when humans were much more connected to that. And
yes,
things, right. The way our society is built and technology and distractions and, you mm-hmm. know, the dumbing down of people, whether that's intentional or malicious or just, you know, the way society is flowing. How do you think that affects people in that connection and in their ability to to absorb that?
I think it completely affects people. And I think that, I mean, as far as I know, I don't know everything about every single indigenous culture in the world, but I do know indigenous Mexican culture, indigenous, obviously First Nations people here, indigenous Siberians, indigenous Africans, have a natural connection to the spirit realm. It's not a question, it's a way of life.
Yeah.
And every indigenous community, you know, in Ireland and England, they had medicine people.
Yeah.
And they connected naturally. That changed when I think the development, and again, I'm not against religion, Catholicism, for example, was created, they wanted people to listen to the priests, not to God,
right.
Not to Jesus. And so they created systems to keep people from doing that themselves. And so that kind of, and then we have colonization and like the rapid spread of that throughout the world. And then we have science, which is incredible. I am not against science, not at all. I believe in science. Science is a thing. And our country, our society, again, our dominant society, people who are not, you know, indigenous, like in these indigenous ways that are still incorporating the way of life. We have been taught to believe that science and the only thing that is provable is real.
Yeah.
And so we also haven't been taught to listen to our intuition in school. And we're not taught to listen to our intuition as adults, as we're going about working through our days, because we don't want to make mistakes. We want to only live in a way that feels tangible and proven.
Yeah.
But now actually corporations are actually teaching people how to listen to their intuition. So I do think, we have a lot of distractions. We do have, you know, we have technology, all the things that you were saying, but we're living in this incredible time where I believe that we're evolving as human beings. And so I'm getting a lot of people coming out of the woodwork who are recognizing that they are intuitive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're at a weird impasse. Maybe not impasse is the wrong word. Just kind of a weird split in at least American culture, maybe culture in general across the world, but especially in America, where, you know, the people who are kind of going down the route you're talking about and trying to, you know, trying to get more in tune with themselves and spiritual and get, you know, that in tune with their own spirituality in that way, intuitiveness is growing. But then also there's another part of America which is just buying into the complete herd mentality, just push along with whatever society is doing and whatever's easy and whatever means that they don't have to actually put any effort into their life anymore.
I agree with that. And I think that what's happening is we're seeing this huge dichotomy of a split, and we are seeing this herd mentality play out in politics and in religion and cultures. And then we're also seeing people speaking their truth from the first time they may ever have. People come out of the woodwork talking about ways in which they've been oppressed. And I think that it's really incredible to witness that. I mean, right now I've been helping out some Venezuelan refugees, and there's a strong belief in God, and they came here with completely leap of faith and nothing. And, but their faith in God has helped like guide them through. And I think that there's a lot of people who live that way, or the faith in a higher power that guides them. But I do think that in the news, we are only being exposed to the people, you know, to thinking about the people who follow the herd, who aren't thinking for themselves. And we're not being exposed to, I mean, I'm not against the news either, but, you know, it's not really being talked about. Like, oh my God, so-and-so was connecting to their intuition today. Yeah. And because of that, they, you know, and blah, 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 you know?
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, I think the news is part of the problem, and probably in on the, you know, in on the vig, where they're, you know, I think a lot of what they do is designed to keep people dumbed down in a way from what, you know, our purpose and being connected back to these things that, like you said, I think we all have that in us, but I think it's taught out of us or you know. The fear of not complying to social norms, kind of, we just kind of put our blinders on and start going through life to assimilate.
Exactly. And so the reason why everybody can be taught how to develop their intuition is because it's simply like a chipping away of those things. Mm-hmm. Our intuition is always there. It's always inside us. Our ability to connect to whatever higher power we believe in is inside us. And it's about recognizing those things, like you're talking about, the barriers, and chipping away at those barriers, if you are conscious enough to know that those exist within you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So what would you, you know, for people who are maybe not familiar with this, maybe there's some trepidations, where do you suggest people start for themselves down this journey? What's a good, you know, soft landing pad to start moving in this direction?
I think what is maybe the softest landing pad is to think about how truth exists within yourself. That spirit and love and whatever your higher power is, if you believe in God, God exists within you. So you already know you. You're already familiar with you. And all that does, the only negative thing that does is nothing, because it might help you wake up to truth that you don't want to know, you know what I mean? Like, that you have to change your career, not have to, but it might be in your highest and best good, for example. But that you can return to yourself and feel this love and comfort, and that's it. It is love, it is comfort. Nobody is gonna come in and make you, and force you. You don't lose your free will, ever.
Yeah.
I think that might be a really great place to start. And to another way to think of it is that if you set the intention that you are going to receive intuitive information in a way that feels safe to you, like for me, I was having those dreams and that was not okay.
Yeah.
But once I started to study, I realized I could just set an intention. So you set an intention that you want to connect to loving beings, that you want to connect to your intuition in a way that feels healing, that you don't want to connect to your intuition all the time. You don't want to read people all the time.
Yeah.
Unless you want to. You know what I mean? That you, again, you have autonomy. The word is autonomy and the word is free will. And that when you do connect with intention to loving beings, that is what you will be doing. You will be connecting to loving beings.
Yeah. That's I think that's helpful. Well, mm-hmm. It's all fascinating stuff, Sarah. I appreciate you filling us in on this and what everything you do. Give us, is there anything else you want to say or at least tell us where people can find you, stuff like that?
Sure. What I want to say is that I would love to, if what I'm talking about resonates for you and you're feeling a call, to receive and in the way that I'm talking about, I would love to support you. I am teaching my intuitive course, development course, on a regular cycle, and I actually didn't come up with a date yet. So, but you can, if you're interested, you can reach out to me. My website is, and I hope you can write it down because it's sarahitkin.com, but I know Itkin is, it's Sarah with an H, Itkin, I-T-K-I-N. And you can also find me on Instagram, and I have a Facebook group called Intuitive Connections, and I'm on TikTok and all those things. But I'm happy to talk to you, or you can email me, find all my info on my website.
Perfect. All right. Well, guys, we are going to get out of here for this week. Sarah, again, thanks for being here. This is fascinating stuff. I always enjoy talking to people with this open mindset. I like it. It's definitely something I subscribe to in many ways, and it's nice to have that conversation. So I appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're going to get out of here for this week. Like I said, we appreciate you guys hanging out again. Go to deescomedy.com. Check out everything going on across the network. Also, the special Not Your Cup of Tea is still available on the website. You can go. It is all, we still have our special going on right now for donation only. So you can pay whatever you want. You get the whole hour special of mine. And check it out, guys. I appreciate everyone who's purchased and watched and left a good review. Thanks for giving it a whirl. Guys, check out Sarah. We'll leave links for her website in the show notes. So follow her, subscribe to her. If this is something you'd be interested, reach out and see how she can help you find a little more connection in your life. And that's it, guys, for The Social. I've been Deese, and for Sarah, thank you very much. And we will see you all next week.